Well, howdy, y'all. Welcome to Yarns and Tales. This is episode 92. I recorded it a week late. Last week, I don't know what the heck had a hold of me, but I just had no energy, no life, no voice, no nothing. I couldn't give y'all a haphazard dribble. So I decided just not to, you know, throw in mediocre when I just didn't have it. I mean, call me Sparky, but my ass was dragging. So this week I am feeling way better. Dang, there goes that again. I really hate it when I start throwing those in there. This is a bright and early 8 o'clock in the morning recording for me on a Friday. I have my second cup of coffee in me. Well, I'm working on the second cup of coffee. It's not quite there yet. Today is the weather here. It is so proper Southern October. It's so comfortable outside. It's not hot. It's not sticky. It's not muggy. It is just temperate. It feels like fall time outside. And I am completely jazzed about it feeling as nice as it is. So I guess for all you future listeners, yes, I am recording this in October of 2014. The third day of October, actually. In 6 days, it will be my 44th birthday. Amazing, huh? Well, maybe not to y'all, but to me, it's, I don't get all jazzed up and hoop-de-doop about birthdays. I survived another year. You know what? That means I have another year's worth of yarn stash I've accumulated. And because I'm a seamstress, fabric stash, I enjoy collecting things, so all those collectible, well, not in the sense of, you know, oh, here's a cutesy little figurine that I now have to dust and find a home for. No, I collect books, things I can read, things I can find practical and useful should there be a strange and total electrical blackout. Yeah, call me weird, but I like practical things to collect. So, you know, old treadle sewing machines and knitting needles, crochet hooks, plenty of yarn to keep me busy with those implements. Fabric, needle, thread, because I do know how to sew by hand and I can do it quite nicely too. Though I'm a lot faster on a sewing machine. I feel better this time around. 92 feels like it's going to be a good episode. It's one of those, you know, I talk by the seat of my britches kind of shows. I don't plan a whole lot. I really like organic shows. Maybe y'all do. Some of you may like scripted shows. If I do script, it is so minimal that I hope you don't notice. You know, and that's when I'm doing, like, the mystery project. Yeah, I kind of had to pre-plan a lot of that, but most of that was seat of the pants, baby. Seat of the pants. Or hem of the skirt. Or bloomers. Underwear, unless, of course, you're going commando, in which case, your birthday suit? anyway, I said that to a friend of mine, her daughter, roughly give or take 12-ish. She was arguing which one she wanted more, some tape or some new underwear. And I told her, I said, well, which one do you want more? She says, I want the duct tape. And I said, well, buy the duct tape and just go commando. The six shades of blushing pink this child's face turned was so cute. And she nestled up to her mom, which she's almost as tall as, and her mama started laughing. Yeah. So it was in the South, you never know what's going to happen or what's going to be said. There goes that word again. Gee whiz. Now, talking about what kids say and what kids do, and then we're going to get on talking about little crochet stuff that I've been dabbling in. Just for you guys, too, because I don't know if y'all have tried it. I am enamored with this crochet stuff. But let me digress. My husband had a friend of his from out of town over while I was working one night. It's a dude friend, nothing for y'all to sweat about. To do a podcast with him. And he had supper with my husband and my three kids. Now, my children are young adults, 21, 20, and 17. So we have grown-up conversations and teenage conversations, but they're more grown-up and less teenage. Especially if you see what TV calls teenage. Yeah. So he is having supper, and then the banter that happens around my eating table or counter, because a lot of times we just stand around the peninsula counter and we just eat and yap and gab and laugh. And when all was said and done later, my husband told me something his friend had conveyed to him. The friend, he is the father of six children. Six very well-mannered, beautiful kids. And he told my husband that he simply adored the camaraderie and the forthrightness, if you will, of our children. How they are intelligent. They speak their mind, but they speak intelligently. And he really, really hoped that he could do justice and raise his children to be that way. That's what he wanted for his family, is just to have kids that weren't like what's out there in society, but were intelligent, level-headed, but quick-witted and polite. Or sharp-witted and polite, most of the time. But the laughter that was around our table and the just that positive, fun energy and the way they bounce off each other. Not literally, of course, but I thought that I took that as the highest compliment one adult / parent can pay to another one when their children are grown. That made me feel, you know, wonderful. I've done my job and I did it right. So it ain't easy, but when you do it right and others take notice and wish their kids to be like your kids, bravo. All of you guys who can do that. It feels wonderful. Now, let us get on with the activity portion of the show. I know I'm being goofy this morning. Like I said, I'm not sparky today. I'm perky today. There's a difference. My coffee, I need to shut up and drink it. It's getting cool. Okay. So what did I pick up and decide to dabble in today that I thought would be interesting to some of y'all? Well, I found it interesting. And that was to crochet. I decided because I don't do enough crochet for my crocheters out there. This I do know, and I do apologize. Because both topics, well, I retract both topics. Let's get on with the tactile part of the show. How many of you know what jute, J-U-T-E, cord is? At least I think it's called cord. Let me look here at the... It's called, yeah, jute cord. It's 100% natural plant fiber. It's brown and coarse and, yeah. So anyway, we sell spools of this in the jewelry department where I work. It's part of their whole crafting thing. So I decided, I looked at that and I went, hey, I remember jute was one of the things that you could use for those homemade kitchen scrubbers. So I decided to buy some of the jute. Now, what I picked up was the 3-ply, 28-pound jute. Now, the spool does not weigh 28 pounds. That is its tensile strength. That's how they measure it. You know, with regular yarn, it's worsted weight, it's sport weight, it's fingering yarn, it's bulky, chunky. Okay, when you get into jute, it's measured by its tensile strength. This particular 3-ply is 28 pounds. Now, the actual weight of this skein was almost a 1/2 pound physical weight. It's not a light piece. It's actually 0.45 pounds or 0.20 kilograms. It says so on the label. And it is considered a skein of jute. At least the package says so. Madeja Echelon, I think. It has some other non-English names printed on here. So, I don't know, guessing French and Spanish. Seeing how close... Yeah, that second one. Natural. So, yeah, I'm guessing Spanish and French are the other languages on this very small tidbit. Anyway. So, I go and I hunt down one of my very large crochet hooks. It's a Lucite by Susan Bates. It's one of those kind of colored see-through plastic crochet hooks. I'm having to try to see if I can figure out. It's... Okay. The letter P. I was having to get it to reflect the light so I could read what size it was. It is the letter P / 11.5 millimeter hook. Yeah, because this 3-ply is no small creature. So this is the size hook I picked up to use with it. And I found that, okay, jute, it does not slip and slide. You wrestle with it. Seriously, you wrestle with this stuff. And, of course, it does have that interesting organic smell to it. And if you ever have worked with jute, you know what I mean. So, what did I start doing with it? Well, the first thing I did with this Who's He What's It is do y'all remember when I did my amigurumis? I learned how to do the magic circle. Well, I made one of those, and I put 8 single crochets on it and cinched it closed and made a circle. And then I just started crocheting out, adding another single crochet every other stitch. So it just progressively got wider and bigger and wider and bigger. And then I said, hey, okay, let's play some more. And now the whole time, I've only single crocheted on this because this stuff is tough to work with and your hand will cramp because you really do exercise your hand muscles. So I reached a point that I was like, okay, an infant's head, maybe 3 months old, is the size of the dome piece that I managed to get to before I stopped adding stitches and just started crocheting circular, just going round and round, just to work with jute. No project particular in mind, because, like I said, I've never actually worked with this before. So I wasn't sure what was going to come of this. And I am pleasantly surprised with it. I mean, it definitely makes up a cute organic project. Very, very organic. The size of this thing, I could easily bind it off now, run a few straps, and hang it outside with a potted plant sitting in it, and it would be so appropriate. But really, jute is it's an interesting creature to work with. Now, all that being said, after I got to playing with this, I decided to Google crocheting jute and looked under just the images. Holy cow, the number of you guys that have already, you know, what y'all do with jute and crocheting. Bags, bowls, soles of shoes that you go back and you put yarn, attach it onto it to make the strapping and whatnot, but you use jute as the sole of your crocheted shoe, sandal, you know, whatever. Welcome mats and rugs, coasters for your cups, gardening bags, farmers market bags, recyclable shopping bags, reusables, I should say. The things y'all have created from jute cording, and this is my first experience with it, and I am tickled with it. So now I'm actually tickled to see how well it crochet. I can tell I haven't had enough of something. I'm looking forward to trying to knit this up, which that's going to be, what would I knit with it? I look forward to my own challenge. So that was today's little tidbit, was crocheting with this 3-pound jute. And it's fun. It makes outdoorsy kind of stuff. And I'm very, very pleased with it. So, yeah. I look forward to hearing what y'all might do with it, if any of you decide to work with it. Now, my tales part of the day. Two ladies that I have, one is knitting, well, actually, they're both kind of knitting students of mine, but they both primarily crochet. That's their sharp skill. They're learning the knitting skill. Well, we got on a couple of separate occasions, we have been discussing instructions and how they're written. And this was prompted by some ambiguity, fun word this morning, in a crochet pattern that one of the ladies was working on. And she had asked me to read over it and see if I could make better heads or tails of it than she had, because it left her confused. And she's been reading patterns for a while. So I did. I read it and then reread it. And a dozen more times I had to reread this to finally visualize what the instructions actually wanted you to do so that you could complete the project as they intended. This is the reason, as a pattern designer, I obsess over the clarity of instructions. I don't want someone to have to read and reread my instructions 10 and 12 times for it to make sense, even to a seasoned pattern reader. So I prefer to write every pattern so that any novice or experienced person can pick it up, read it, and go, "Hey, I understood that the very first or second time I read that." Because honestly, most of the time you want to read a pattern twice because you build it in your mind's eye. But this one, it was some ear flaps on a baby's crocheted hat. And it was the way the ear flap instruction was written that left a lot of confusion. But once it made sense, then I was like, "Oh, okay, here's what." And I explained it to her, and then she read it, and then she's like, "I see it now. But why did it take two people to make it that clear?" And to me, that was sort of a fault on the pattern writer. Now, maybe y'all feel differently about that, that it was beyond this woman's scope to understand the pattern. No, it was a simple pattern. The instructions, I still hold, were written a little, they could have been clearer, you know, just a bit clearer. There was still a little mud in that water, but we straightened it out. We filtered all the mud out. Clear as day now. Clear, you know, drinkable water. Southernisms. Don't y'all just love them? But that's something. And then my second student, we were discussing, you know, reading patterns. And she said that's the one thing she hates, is people may have great ideas, but when they go putting them to paper, there's something lost in translation between their brain, their hands, their creation, and flat work paper. Some people just aren't, you know, made to write. And she agreed with her friend, the other student. Now, keep in mind, these ladies, when I say they've been doing this stuff for a while, multiple decades of crocheting and reading patterns. These aren't, just, oh, I picked up and I'm, you know, 2 weeks new to this or 12 months new to this. No, these are seasoned crocheters reading patterns. And it's a lot of the new crochet pattern writers, designers are presuming you understand a whole lot when you never, ever presume they know what you're talking about. You should always write instructions. And I do not mean to insult anybody, but always write instructions to their simplest form. You will get repeat followers to your work. So if you are dabbling with writing instructions, keep them simple. That the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Or keep it simple. Keep it. Well, that's the phrase in the South. I couldn't think of a way without using the word stupid. But it's the KISS method. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. So, anyway, that comes to the end of 92. We crocheted with the little jute, and we talked about poor instruction writing and how great my kids are. Yes, we had a good episode. Oh, thank you guys for listening. Seriously, thank you. I like talking to y'all. I really, really do. I know I tell y'all that every week, but I do. It is sincere, and it's from the bottom of my heart, raising all the way up through my voice. I really do appreciate that y'all listen. Guys, if y'all feel bad, truly, I hope you feel better soon. If you feel good, spread it around. We got a lot of crazy going out there in that world. We got a lot of crazy to fix. If you are, you know, you're hot, cool off. If you're cool, warm up. But all in all, y'all keep safe above all things else. Y'all keep safe. Until I talk to y'all next week, feel free to visit my website, www.revlea.me, REVLEA.ME. That's where you can go. You can find me elsewhere, linked off of that page, the About Me section. So, until next week, please, y'all be careful. Y'all be safe. Y'all take care. Bye, y'all.